In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The subtitle of our homily today is All Those Things That Should Be Said, But Never Actually Said from the Pulpit, Because Most Priests Are Scaredy Cats. The Lord says in our Gospel today, By their fruits you shall know them. What is it that would keep priests from preaching and proclaiming the truth? Why or of what are they actually afraid? Or maybe I shouldn't say they, I should say we. Of course, we're afraid of unpopularity. We're afraid of being mocked and ridiculed by society and culture. We are afraid of what our bishop may say or think or do to us, just or unjust. But we're not nearly enough afraid of what it is that God will do to us, what it is that he should do to us, especially if we fail to preach the truth. Because the simple fact is this, brothers and sisters, what we hear in our gospel is that good trees bear good fruit, bad trees do not. The actions of the evil one who prowls about the world seeking the ruin of souls are clearly made manifest, and the signs are there for everyone to see. And so let's take a look at the world in which we live. Let's not go too far afield. Let's not go internationally. Let's not go nationally. Let's not even go locally. Let's just go in our own little small geographical area of the world itself and ask ourselves the simple question. Can we point to things that give us an indication that God indeed is bearing fruit in that reality that is around and surrounded and bearing in the mystery of truth itself? The short answer is yes, here at the Oratory of St. Gregory and Augustine. Not because of anything that I have done or we have done collectively, except for the one thing that God asks of us. That is honesty, integrity, truth, fidelity. These things will bear fruit, and the fruit is there for all to see. Increased numbers, baptisms, marriages, a healthy community that continues to grow, remains vibrant despite all the obstacles that are in their way. Now, let's turn our attention to the bad fruit. And at every data point that the church uses in order to gauge the health of a particular community, of a particular diocese, over and over again for the last 50 years, there has been a steady, very clear decline, indicating that the things that we have been doing are not bearing fruit. Most churches are empty, evidenced by what it is that the archdiocese is undergoing even at this precise moment. Seminaries and convents are empty, being shuttered one after another. Property being sold left and right because it all is empty. Catholics contracepting and divorcing at the same rate and same numbers, and even sometimes the data suggests an increased numbers than our separated brethren or even those who do not believe. Faith in our Lord's real presence. 80 to 90% of theoretically practicing Catholics do not believe in the Lord's presence, real presence in the Most Holy Eucharist. Our schools are empty. People are choosing public education over Catholic education because they're finding in public education a more sensitive and sympathetic ear to the truth in a secular realm. Our universities are no different than secular universities. And in truth, a Catholic has more freedom to teach Catholic things at a Protestant or secular institution than he or she would at a Catholic institution. We're no longer marrying anymore, cohabitating at rates that are insurmountable. And it would seem that everyone has accepted the dominant reality of culture that the LGBTQXYZ community is the way things have to go and the way things have to be, and no one can or should say something else differently. Now, if that is what we want, it is certainly what we have, certainly what it is that we deserve. Because we have simply ceded the field and we have walked away. And maybe I should own my own statements. We were always told that in the seminary. Don't point fingers at others. You take ownership for your own statements. So I have to recognize my failures at times and not being more bold in preaching the truth for all of those reasons that I articulated at the very beginning for why I am a scaredy cat. But the fear is real. The fear is true. Cancel culture is not merely a myth. It is a reality. And it's becoming more and more prominent. Even good friends of mine, brother priests of mine, simply some of them disappearing. Where have they gone? What has happened to them? They were in their parishes and now they're no longer in their parishes. And no one is saying where they've gone or what has actually happened to them. Only that they preached something on Sunday and by Tuesday the moving truck came. And by Wednesday they had scratched from reality and from history the presence of that priest. 5 years ago that was one or two. 5 years forward now, more than that. Something to be afraid of. The fear of men and what men can do to us should never prohibit any of us from preaching and proclaiming the truth. The greatest sadness in all of this, and I remember back to a quote long, long time ago. Michael Huckabee, you may remember of political fame. He may even still be on television. I don't know. He used to be a Protestant minister, and he gave up preaching, proclaiming the gospel, because he said he grew tired of two things. He grew tired of lying. He grew tired of lying in order to do the second thing he grew tired of, what he described as people-pleasing parochial maintenance. Always making people feel good and happy. Well, God doesn't give gold stars just for showing up. There is more that is required of all of us than just simply being here. This is the beginning of your relationship with God. Not its end. I understand why it become altogether too much actually for us to do. But the greatest sadness is we all have become liars. Because we've accepted everything and no one actually is free. We speak about it around the dinner table with our friends. We whisper it in secret corners if we go out for a drink and hide out in the back. We might even put out into the deep and maybe say something slightly controversial in some type of mediated form of communication, but cautiously, carefully, lest you be canceled, lest you lose your job, lest you have names hurled against you. These are real and true things. They can happen to all of us. But aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of the burden of the lie instead of the freedom that comes in the truth? Aren't you tired of the compromises that are required, the bending over backwards, if you will? It's like an emotional, physical, almost game of Twister in order to somehow fit ourselves in the midst of the world in which we live. And for what? What is it that is gained by compromising with the world? What is it you can show by way of fruit when you compromise the truth, when you buy into the lie, when you are afraid of putting out into the deep? There is no fruit. St. Paul says to the Romans, the wage of sin is death. This is a society, a culture of death. When St. John Paul II proclaimed that, working against the culture of death almost maybe 30 years or more so ago, it seemed a novel way of describing what maybe at the time was on the fringes of society and culture. But now, it's the very air that we breathe. We've grown accustomed to the destruction of our children in the womb. We've grown accustomed to the violence on the streets that touches all of us in one form or another. We live well with the wagings of war on a national and an international level. And as all of that has seeped into the life of the church, we now have grown accustomed to our bishops telling us lies, not preaching the truth, and sometimes, sadly, even the Pope himself giving over to dominant culture instead of remaining steadfast and strong. There certainly is much more that can be said. And I would be remiss if I left you with that as the only thing that needs to be said. Because there is a counter to this. And certainly the Lord expects no one individual in this church to bear the burden of stemming the tide of the world in which we live. It is a collective reality. And in truth, it is a reality that has already been conquered in the mystery of the Lord's cross. What is required of each of us is to follow after the Lord by carrying our crosses. For some of us, that will mean leaning in to dominant society and culture and taking a stand with our families, with our friends, maybe even coming up with new friends or building a tighter wall around family, lest the insidiousness of evil seep in the most unassuming of ways. We each have to make our own individual decisions as to what this might look like and the sacrifices that we are willing to make. But let's be clear, the sacrifices must be made nonetheless. I will do my part to the best of my ability. And if I'm not here on Tuesday, you will know exactly what it is that happened to me. I suspect not, though. Because in truth, as long as it's just one priest in one place, especially the old trad priest at the old trad parish, people simply are not going to listen. They're not going to be too concerned, too worried. After all, he's the only one, and we already know that he's crazy. But if there are more of us, if there are more voices, it doesn't have to be shouted, it doesn't have to be screamed, it simply needs to be proclaimed. Small ways, unassuming ways, quiet ways, but proclaimed nonetheless. And then the proof will be in the pudding, if we can borrow yet another phrase, because the fruit indeed will be there. It'll be visible because things will be viable. People are attracted to what it is that happens here, not because, again, of any one of us individually, but collectively, all of us turned toward the Lord, relying upon the Lord, and seeking to live rightly with the Lord. We know what it is that we ought to be doing. And now, in this Eucharistic sacrifice, nourished as we are by God, we need to go forth and do what it is that God is asking us to do, whatever that particular thing might be. And all of this, brothers and sisters, so that we can build the kingdom of God here on earth, and in the fullness of time, enjoy the kingdom everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.